Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, another piece is out about a boys club type workplace when it comes to the Raiders organization. Plus, Chandler Jones was on the herd with Joy Taylor on Friday, so you'll hear a little bit from him. And your calls and texts will close out the show. It's all on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast for Monday, June 27th, 2022.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Just Raiders. Win. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Just win. Your team Just every win. Day.
Just win. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
And welcome in Raider Nation to another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find Locked On Raiders podcast free and available on all platforms. Today's episode, as a matter of fact, is being brought to you by BetOnline.net. They've got you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline.net, that's where the game starts. I'll definitely tell you about them later on in the show. But let's go ahead and jump into the news and notes kind of collected over the weekend. And off top, there's another piece that's out about the culture inside the Raiders organization and just being a boys club type situation. As a matter of fact, it's called How a Boys Club Raiders Culture Fueled Turnover Lawsuits and Harassment Claims. This is in the Las Vegas Review Journal. This is actually a joint piece put together by Brianna Erickson and Mick Akers. And Mick Akers will be a guest on my radio show later on this afternoon at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time, Raider Nation Radio 920, to talk about this piece and a whole lot more. But it's just about workplace misconduct allegations, and a lot of the allegations have been out there, but there's also, you know, some more stuff added to it. And obviously I'm not going to go through and read the whole piece here on the show. Again, I'll talk to Mick Akers later on this afternoon about it, but I mean, just some of it is, you know, some of these employees or former employees told the Review Journal the storied franchise enabled a culture in Oakland and Las Vegas that left them feeling unsupported, underpaid, and at risk of retaliation if they voiced concerns. Those complaints were echoed in multiple lawsuits filed over the course of a decade. Also, it says women who used to work for the team also alleged a troubling pattern of harassment, forced demotions, and unequal treatment, with one calling it a boys club and the mob wrapped in one. So that's pretty damning right there. And of course, we know what's going on with Washington football team right now, Daniel Snyder and everything that he's been under fire for and all the allegations that are put against him and his organization. And hell, it's in Congress now, right? I mean, that was the congressional hearings that they're having and he's been subpoenaed. So this is a very serious situation. You don't want to hear any organization having these kind of situations. But I do believe that there is probably a lot of truth to this kind of stuff amongst a lot of organizations across the NFL. And if this is something that was going on in the Raiders organization, they need to make sure, quick, fast, and hurry, they get this thing cleaned up. And whatever kind of penalties or punishments could come from an investigation, they're just going to have to take that, deal with it, make the proper improvements, obviously, and move on. Matter of fact, Raiders owner Mark Davis was asked about the latest piece, or was asked to comment about the latest piece, and he said, eventually, I'll have something to say about all of this, but not right now. So that's the only thing that Mark Davis has to say about this latest piece that is out in the Las Vegas Review Journal right now. It's called How a Boys Club Raider Culture Fueled Turnover Lawsuits and Harassment Claims. So if you want to check it out, you can. Again, it's in the Las Vegas Review Journal, and Mick Akers, one of the writers of the piece, is going to be on my radio show this afternoon. So if there's some good stuff, good takeaways from what Mick has to say, I'll definitely bring it to the podcast on tomorrow. Also, just kind of collecting the news and notes that I found over the weekend. How about Warren Sapp? He's talking again. Yeah, I think he wants to get back into the media. You know, he used to be on the NFL Network, I do believe, but he hasn't been in it or on it for a while. And so I think he's trying to get back in it. And I'm not really a big Warren Sapp guy. I know, obviously, he was a fantastic player. He's a Hall of Famer for a reason. Fantastic player when he was with Tampa Bay. I wasn't really feeling him that much when he was a member of the Raiders, but it is what it is. You know, I don't really think that he represented the Raiders very well. I didn't like when we'd see him in public, and he just kind of, I don't know, he just was very standoffish, but whatever, it is what it is. But he's talking about Colin Kaepernick's workout with the Silver and Black, and I know that it's not a big deal, obviously. We've talked about Cap's workout, but I just found it funny that all of a sudden Warren Sapp is deciding to talk. And I'll say this, I saw a video of him talking, I think it was on Vlad TV, I saw the video. Warren Sapp just looks off. I'm not saying he looks sick, but he just looks off. But here's Warren Sapp talking about what he heard about the Colin Kaepernick workout with the Raiders.
I heard it was a disaster. I heard it was one of the worst workouts ever. I'm wondering how the hell this happened and the tape didn't get out, right? I mean, somebody wasn't over the fence or nothing? Come on, man. We live in a world right now where you put a drone up. Hey, it ain't like they can stop you. They ain't gonna stop the workout talking about there's a drone up here. We don't know who this is. I mean, what? Come on, let's run this. They don't even send them up the ladder anymore. You remember when we used to go out to practice? Send the guy up the thing and he's shooting practice off. Unbelievable.
So that's Warren Sapp right there talking about what he heard or what he says he heard about Colin Kaepernick's workout with the Silver and Black. And, you know, I don't know what he heard. I don't know who he's talking to. I just know for a matter of fact, what Josh McDaniels, the head coach, told us immediately after the next day after the workout was he wasn't going to speak on it. And I'll tell you what, every single player that has been talked to about Cap had nothing to say. They said, hey, you know, you have to ask Josh McDaniels. You have to ask Dave Ziegler. You have to ask guys that are not us, you know. So I don't know why all of a sudden it's become a big deal, but it was flying around Twitter. It was flying around the internet all weekend long. So I thought I'd at least bring it to the table. So that was what Warren Sapp had to say about the workout. Obviously, Colin Kaepernick's agent did not feel the same. Jeff Nally, he sent a text to Pro Football Talk. He said, I guess Warren didn't talk to the general manager or the head coach. I spoke to the GM Dave Ziegler several times, and he said that they all thought Cap was in great shape and threw the ball really well and encouraged any team to call him about the workout and he would tell them the same. I'm surprised Warren would say that because it's not true and you would think he'd want Cap on a team. So that's Kaepernick's agent. Of course, he's going to say that it's his job to make sure that if there's some negative press out, he gets it turned around into positive press. So I don't know how the workout went. I don't think it even matters. Don't think anything's going to come from it. If it was going to come from it, I think it would already happen. So don't think it's really a big deal, but found it interesting that Warren Sapp was really trying to report on it like he was some NFL insider. I actually saw some headlines that said NFL insider, and that's what really caught my attention. And I'm thinking, who is it? You know, because when I see insider and it's talking about the Raiders, I'm thinking they're talking about Vinny Bonsignor. I'm thinking they're talking about Vic Taffer, Tashaun Reed. That's who I'm thinking that they're talking about. And then it said Warren Sapp. It's like, Warren Sapp? That Warren Sapp? So that's what really caught my attention about that situation right there. So that's all I really got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast news and notes. Just a couple of news and notes collected over the weekend. Coming up in segment number two, Chandler Jones. He was a guest on The Herd on Friday with Joy Taylor. He was in studio with her and did a 15 to 20 minute interview. It was really good. You could actually check it out on YouTube if you want to look for it. But I found a couple little sound bites that I want to bring to you. So I'm going to let you hear those coming up in segment number two after I tell you about the title sponsor of today's show, which is BetOnline.net, the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. They got the latest sports development, league reviews, and news, including the Stanley Cup Final, which is over. Colorado, shout out the Avalanche, man. They won in Game 6. I was hoping there was going to be a Game 7, but it was not to be. Of course, they have Major League Baseball covered as well. BetOnline.net is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, live betting, esports, and a whole lot more. They remain your best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news all season long, and they're the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today on your laptop or your mobile device. Learn about the trends and all the action. BetOnline.net, that's where the game starts.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Want to bring you some sound bites and some highlights from the Chandler Jones interview as he was a guest on The Herd with Joy Taylor on Friday on Fox Sports. It was a really good interview, about 15 or 16 minutes. You can go and check out The Herd YouTube page if you want to see the whole thing. But I just wanted to get a couple of the sound bites in there. Of course, it's a slower time of year. All the guys are away from the facility. They'll return at the end of July, July 18th for the rookies, and the veterans have to report to camp July 20th. So right about now, sometimes you're going to hear these guys. I had Darren Waller on the show last week. He was on with DP, Dan Patrick. And so a lot of these guys are doing these national shows. They're doing little tours on these national shows right now. So I always like to pay attention when they're on to see what they're talking about. And sometimes that they'll give, you know, these guys on the national level a little bit more than they'll even give the local media. So I like to listen to these interviews and just see what I can see or hear what I can hear. So I'm going to bring you a couple of the sound bites from that interview with Joy Taylor from Friday. So the first one is just on Josh McDaniels, head coach Josh McDaniels. Obviously, Chandler Jones knows him very well from his time when he was in New England with the Patriots. So he talks about his coaching approach here. Check it out.
Yeah, what I admire about Coach McDaniels is his ability to demand the respect of people in the room. And when you're a coach, especially a head coach at that, that's a very good characteristic to have. And one thing people, you know, do know, but it's not magnified enough, is that Josh has the experience. You know, he's been to about 9 Super Bowls and he's won 6. And people don't realize that. And I'm not here to toot up his horn, but I'm tooting his horn. That credit is to a lot of the reason why I went to Las Vegas. Also, beside to play with Max Crosby and having being familiar with the front office. But Josh McDaniels is a hell of a guy. He demands that respect. And I think that's a very great characteristic to have as a head coach.
So there's Chandler Jones right there talking about head coach Josh McDaniels. And what I like about head coach Josh McDaniels, from what I've heard so far, obviously we haven't seen a whole lot because even when we were out there at mandatory minicamp, we weren't able to see a ton. They were on the far football field and we were way away from it. So I actually had to pull out my binoculars to be able to see a little something. But obviously we'll see a lot more during training camp and I'll be able to confirm this. But from what everything I've heard so far about coach, it seems like he's very, as a matter of fact, very demanding. You know, multiple players have said, yeah, he'll coach you hard, but he'll love you even harder. And the thing I like about that is that's what I thought the Raiders were getting with John Gruden when John Gruden returned to the sidelines in year, well, not year two, but the second time around. I thought that they were getting a guy that was going to be very demanding, a guy that was going to, you know, make sure that they were disciplined. You know, I thought they were getting Chucky back. I really did. And it just did not seem like he was ever that guy. And I know, of course, he played that role in Hard Knocks, you know, and it almost looked like, oh man, that's the guy that everyone's been waiting for to come back out. But that was really made for video. You know, that was made for TV, made for the HBO special. And you just never really saw him be that guy. He seemed like he was way more kind of laid back and chill. And yeah, he'd get upset at things, but he wouldn't get upset to the point where he did when he was the Raiders head coach the first time around. So I think that Josh McDaniels is going to be a very tough coach, hard-nosed coach, and I think that's what the Raiders need. I like that anyway, but I think that's really what the Raiders need. So that was Chandler Jones talking about head coach Josh McDaniels. So obviously it's been a lot to do and a lot been made about his relationship with Max Crosby and how excited he is to play with Max Crosby. That's one of the questions that I asked Chandler Jones was, hey, how much do you guys push each other right now? But of course, that's going to be a conversation. Anytime Chandler Jones is talking, he's going to talk about his running mate, which is Max Crosby. So Joy Taylor asked him about what is it like having Crosby playing across from him.
Obviously, when you're playing football, there's 11 guys on each side of the ball. And when you have a player that's a little superhuman, like I'll call Max, or a player that's very talented, sometimes you have to put 2 people on him. And when you do the math, you can't double team everyone.
Right.
So knowing that knowing Max is one of those guys, one of those players that demands double teams, he demands that respect. I thought about that. I said, hey, you know what? I feel like I'm one of those players that demands double teams. They have 11 guys. We have 11 guys. They don't have enough to double team both of us. So the opportunity to rush on the opposite side of Max Crosby, that did credit to a lot of the reason why I came here. But it's going to be fun, and it's been fun. Max loves football. So just being in the locker room with him, his locker's right next to mine, talking to him. He's a guy that loves football, and it makes work easy.
I'm really excited about those two guys playing side by side or playing across from each other, talking about Max Crosby and Chandler Jones. I think they're going to do some really good things this year for the Silver and Black, and that's not taking anything away from Yannick Ngakoue, what he was able to do with Max Crosby a year ago. I just think that really good players are going to want to play with Max Crosby, you know, and that's a good thing. That's a credit to Max. So I think that that's going to help elevate his game each and every year. You're going to continue to see him grow and get better. This year is Chandler Jones. You saw how excited Yannick Ngakoue was to play with Max Crosby. I just think that's going to continue to happen. And obviously that's why the conversation around Ndamukong Suh is still there, because he's a guy that has showed so much interest in playing for the Raiders. I think he shows so much more interest in the Raiders than the Raiders have in him. You know, I even did an interview with Kevin Ostreicher, host of Locked On Ravens. He actually interviewed me over the weekend about Ndamukong Suh and his impact on the Raiders, what it could possibly be. And I was actually going to put it on the show, but I just didn't have enough time. But yeah, it's just like he's got everyone talking about the Raiders and Suh. And I really honestly don't believe that that's something that's going to happen unless he really is taking the league minimum. And I don't think that that's what he wants to do, but he's got everybody talking. And again, there's a reason for it. He's looking at what the Raiders got going on. He's looking at the players he'd be playing around, and boom, there it is. He wants to be a part of that. And so I just think that that's a good thing for the Raiders moving forward. They're going to be able to land free agents because there's players that they want to come play with. And that, my friends, is a very good thing. So how about Derek Carr? Got to ask about the quarterback, right? Here's Chandler Jones talking about the leadership of Derek Carr, what he's learned about Derek Carr since being with the Raiders.
Derek is, first and foremost, I want to point out that he's a man of faith. And me, I'm also a man of faith. So that's one thing that stood out to me when I came here. And I know Derek. I know him for a while now. But my father's a pastor. And when he found out that Derek was a man of faith, he kind of was like, man, you know, that's where your leader should be. But Derek is a great leader. From being around him, he's a hard worker. That's one thing that I have noticed from being around him is just how hard he works. And not just on the field, you know, in the weight room. You know, he's the first guy in the weight room. There's a few photos that the Raiders have put out that he was entering the building when it was dark outside still. And people are just like, did he spend the night? But no, he was the first guy in the building. So just having that guy, having him around the building, just having young guys see that. You know, that goes a long way because obviously that'll be contagious.
There's Chandler Jones right there talking about the leader, talking about the work ethic, talking about just Derek Carr, the guy, what he's able to do, talking about his faith. A lot of good stuff right there from Chandler Jones talking about Derek Carr. So next question Joy Taylor asked him was about Adams and Carr, how that relationship is already starting to, you know, come together since the Raiders made the trade for Davante Adams. So here's Chandler Jones talking about Adams and Carr, their relationship.
Yeah, from my perspective, those guys, they seem really close. And, you know, they're always with each other. They're always golfing after practice or after OTAs. And you see pictures of them. When he signed here, they had posted a selfie on FaceTime and they had posted on Instagram. But they're very close. And one thing about Davante that I've learned is that he's a very hard worker. You know, if he doesn't do something right, he'll try to go do it again. He won't say, hey, I got this. He'll go out there and do a rep and repeat the drill. That goes to show you that he loves football. He loves the game. He's a hard worker. I think him himself is a dangerous person to have for our team, for different defensive coordinators. I would hate to be a defensive coordinator at night going to sleep knowing I have to face Davante Adams that Sunday. So I'm glad he's on my side.
Chandler Jones talking about Davante Adams, Derek Carr, that relationship. Also talking about Davante Adams as that guy that keeps opposing defensive coordinators up at night. You know, how many times have I talked about that guy? You got to have one of those dudes that concerns the other coaching staff, keeps them up at night, worries them. Either that's a guy on the defensive side of the ball or a guy on the offensive side of the ball. And that's what Chandler Jones is talking about with Davante Adams keeping defensive coordinators up at night. The final soundbite I want you to hear from the Joy Taylor interview with Chandler Jones on The Herd on Friday is about Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert. And the reason why Justin Herbert came up is she was asking, you know, who's the quarterback that is in the division that shows the biggest challenge or gives the Raiders the biggest challenges. So he said Justin Herbert because he's the first one. You know, they got to face the Chargers week one. So he says that's the first one up. So that's the one that's going to give us our biggest challenge because we're only preparing for week one. But then she doubled down and asked about Justin Herbert, what he thought about him. So here's Chandler Jones talking about the Chargers quarterback, Justin Herbert.
Well, I'll tell you what, I hadn't played against him until the Pro Bowl. And it's funny you asked when I watched him because I actually got to play against him in the Pro Bowl, and a lot of times where I was on the field, he was on the field. But one thing I did realize about Justin is his ability to place the ball. And a lot of quarterbacks don't have that. And when I say that, it's not just throwing a good ball, but being able to know how to throw it at the guy's feet. You know, a lot of times quarterbacks, when it's close to the end zone, you're supposed to throw it low. Or when it's back to the back of the back of the pylon, you're supposed to throw it high. And he had made a throw in the Pro Bowl specifically that I remember, that it was literally right by my feet and I couldn't grab it. And he threw it there on purpose, knowing that, hey, this is away from the defender and it was a touchdown. And for a guy to be that young and having that precise passing like that, it's dangerous. So I'm a fan. Hopefully I can get after him too at the same time.
That's obviously the biggest thing, right? Chandler Jones getting after Justin Herbert. Yeah, he's a hell of a quarterback. Everyone's giving him a lot of props. He hasn't got to the playoffs yet, but he's still a very young dude. And you see right there why Chandler Jones likes him. Just he's talking about the ball placement, and he's a young dude and knows how to put that ball placement where it needs to be so the defender can't get it and only the wide receiver can. So some props right there from Chandler Jones about Justin Herbert. Again, that was a really good interview that Joy Taylor did on The Herd on Friday with Raiders defensive end Chandler Jones. You go ahead. I encourage you to check out the whole thing. You can find it on The Herd YouTube page. Really good stuff from Joy Taylor. Coming up in segment number three, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line 707-654-4693. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Just got a couple today, and that's all right. But we'll go ahead and get to them. We'll knock it out, and we'll get up out of here for today's show. So let's go ahead and start things off with a text from Stabler's Ghost. And it's so funny, every time I get a text from Stabler's Ghost, and I always appreciate it, but it's funny, every time I see that name Stabler, of course, I know we're talking about Kenny Stabler, but me as the Law and Order SVU fan, all I could think of is Stabler on the TV show. That's all I could think of. I don't know why I immediately go to Stabler on the TV show, Law and Order SVU, but I do. And so then I see that Stabler's Ghost, and I think of his show that he has, which I think was not even really good. I don't even know if it's still on. I saw it like once or twice and realized that, yeah, his show's not that great. It's not Law and Order SVU. But anyway, here's a text from Stabler's Ghost. Hey, Q. It's Stabler's Ghost from the Northeast. I'm loving this offseason. I think the nation should be ecstatic with where we are right now. I agree we need some help in some areas, but I'm going on record as saying I think Leatherwood is going to shock people. He's a pro. He played at the highest level in college, and he has pride. There is no way he has not heard what everyone thinks of him. He's going to take the new coaches, and I think he'll make it his goal to prove everyone wrong. Exactly what the Raiders do on the regular. Keep up the good work, Q, and as always, Raiders. That's from Stabler's Ghost. Thank you so much for that text. And you know what, Alex Leatherwood, I'm excited about his opportunity. I really am, because it is year two, like you mentioned. He did play all of year one. That's the thing. He did play all of year one. He got all that burn under his belt, so he's got experience. Now what can he do with it? You know, I mean, there's things he can do. You know, when I talked to Lincoln Kennedy, he said, hey, you know what? I've always been a fan of Leatherwood, but he just didn't do what he was supposed to do his rookie year as far as his technique. So I just want to see if his technique's going to be better. I think this new regime's going to give him every single opportunity that's out there to win that right tackle position. If he's not a tackle, kick him inside the guard, so be it. Whatever. I just need to see that offensive line. I'm hoping to see that offensive line be really strong this year. And if they are, man, sky's the limit for what this team could really possibly do. So that'll definitely be someone that we're paying attention to in a major way once training camp opens up. Thank you so much for that text. I appreciate you. Next up, got a call from E. Rich. He's calling to talk about the new or the alternate logo that the Raiders have, and he's actually calling from a pretty unique place. Here he is, E. Rich.
What up, Q? It's your boy, E. Rich. I'm actually out here on a kayak in Lake Natoma near Folsom Lake over in Rockland area. Anyway, the reason I was calling is I was calling about the new Raiders logo, and it actually, I actually have the logo tattooed on me, believe it or not. So I want to tell you a little story of how it all went down. So, the Raiders played the Ravens on Monday Night Football, home opener, and I was fortunate enough to be able to get tickets with a buddy of mine. And the game was absolutely crazy, and about halfway through the game or so, Raiders were down a little bit, and they were starting to, you know, generate their comeback. I looked at my buddy, and I said, if the Raiders come back and win this game, I'm going to tattoo something on me tonight. And I was trying to figure out throughout the game, like, what if they actually come back? What am I going to tattoo on me? And right when you walk into the stadium, like right at the front entrance of the stadium, up the stairs on the railing, they have the new logo all up and down the stairs. And so to me, I was like, wow, that seems like the perfect thing to get. To me, it represents kind of this new culture of football that the Raiders are stepping into, a new beginning, a new opening as you are walking into this brand new, you know, stadium. So to me, it's all about, you know, new beginnings, and that's kind of how I look at it as. And of course, the Raiders come back, the craziest game you can ever imagine. And sure enough, I walked down to the first tattoo parlor I saw, got the logo tattooed on my ankle there. So to me, means a lot to me. I will always forget that moment. I will always forget the Raiders' first home game at home against the Ravens, Monday Night Football, baby. Peace out, Q.
There he goes, my guy E. Rich, calling from a kayak. My man is in the middle of the lake, and he's calling to talk about the logo, the alternate logo, and the fact that he got it tatted on his leg. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. And he sent a picture in as well so I could see it. He texted in a picture of it. It was pretty cool. But, man, my man is calling from the lake. How awesome is that, right? So, yeah, I mean, the logo doesn't look bad at all. It doesn't. It's just, every time I see it, the first thing I think of is Tampa Bay, since they somewhat jacked the Raiders logo. I've always felt that way. As soon as Tampa Bay came out with their new uniforms and their new logo that they have, and of course they got the pirate ship there at their stadium and everything, I'm like, man, they did everything they could to say that they're the Raiders without actually saying that they're the Raiders, right? But I guess it is what it is. And my guy Mick Akers, who I'm going to have on my show later on this afternoon at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time to talk about that Boys Club article that I talked about in segment number one, he actually put out that you can get get that merchandise. You can buy shirts or whatever with that logo on it at the Raider image at the Harry Reid Airport, which used to be McCarran Airport here in Las Vegas. So I'm sure if it's already there, it's going to be all over quick, fast, and hurry, and people are going to be able to buy that merchandise. And I'm sure it's going to sell like hotcakes. I mean, there's no doubt about it. If it's anything Raider related, it's going to sell, you know? So there's some fans that hate it. I don't hate it, but I get why some fans don't like it, right? You know, it's just, I mean, it is what it is, but it's another way to sell and make more money and revenue as far as merchandise sales go. So thank you so much for that call, and thanks for the picture of the tattoo as well. I thought that was really cool. Be safe out there on that lake, man. Don't be letting your phone fall into the water, you know, because you had to call and tell me about the tattoo, but I do appreciate you. And actually, that's the last of the calls and texts. I actually had another one from Raider Dan in the 734, but I realized I read that one already. So I must have read that one last week, and it came through twice, so I'm not going to go ahead and repeat that one. But what I will do is now I will let you hear the interview that I did with Kevin Ostreicher over the weekend, talking all things Ndamukong Suh. He's also on Locked On Ravens, but also on Locked On NFL on Mondays. So that's where this interview is going to be played at today. So you can also check out that show. It's a really good show. I actually am part of that Locked On NFL on Fridays. I do the show with Chris Carter. He's the host of Locked On Steelers. But here's that interview. Since we got a little bit of time, here's this interview that I did with Kevin Ostreicher to close out the show today.
Joining me now to round out the show to talk about some Ndamukong Suh and some Las Vegas Raiders is the host of Locked On Raiders, your boy Q. And Q, we might have talked on here once or twice before. Maybe this might be your first appearance. I'm not sure how you doing.
I'm good, man. Yeah, we got a relationship going now, right? I mean, we're talking all the time, and that's cool, man. It's been a fun offseason, lots of storylines, and so lots of good conversation going on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the one today, Q, it's about Ndamukong Suh. Now, Suh, pretty unlikely he returns to Tampa at this point, the Bucs signing Akeem Hicks, and now that pushes Suh out the door pretty much. And I think he demonstrated just a little bit of interest on Twitter when he talked about the Las Vegas Raiders. He said the Raiders seem fun.
Right.
And it begs the conversation of just where he would fit, assuming he would be signed. You know, we don't really know what the situation is at this point. But when you saw that tweet, Q, what was going through your mind? Was it something you expected to see?
Well, I'll tell you, when I saw the tweet, when I saw him on ESPN, I heard what he had to say about the Raiders. I thought, oh, here you go. Now the firestorm is going to come, because now all the Raider Nation sees that name, because he's a huge name, obviously, one of the best to ever do it at that position, you know. And so everyone's all, you know, lathered up wanting Suh to be a Raider now. And so I don't know if that's a possibility. I don't know if it's going to happen. I think there's actually more interest on his part than there is on the Raiders' part right now, at least as we speak, you know, in the end of June. But it would be interesting. You know, he's a hell of a player still. He's a better defensive tackle than the Raiders have currently on the roster. So obviously it'd be a really good upgrade. You put him, you know, in the middle between Max Crosby and Chandler Jones, you have something cooking. The only thing is that, you know, the Raiders look like they're going to be in a 3-4 scheme more times than not. And he's only been in a 3-4 scheme once, and that was when he was with the Rams in his career. And so he was okay. Then he wasn't great. So it's just it's a lot of different things that, you know, go into it. But you put Suh on that defensive line, and like I said, he's still better than what you have right now. So it'd be an upgrade. But I think the biggest question is going to be, how much does he want? And I think he probably wants more money than the Raiders are willing to give him.
Yeah, and Q, what would your ideal contract for him be? Probably maybe in the one-year deal range. Would you give him multiple years, the average annual value? What were you looking in terms of the money the Raiders have to operate with and the actual need for a defensive lineman on the roster?
Well, you know, it's funny. I would probably give him a one-year deal, you know, if on the Raiders. And the thing is, they have some pretty good cap space right now, just after they cleared some June 1st money. So they do have some good salary right now. But I just don't think that they're willing to give it to him. What I've noticed from this new regime, Dave Ziegler, the GM, comes over from New England. Champ Kelly comes over from the Bears. And of course, Josh McDaniels comes over from the Patriots as well. They're not really trying to give big money to, you know, to older guys. They really aren't. And now they'll spend money where they need to, like on a Devontae Adams or a Hunter Renfro or a Derek Carr. Makes sense. But for the older guys, they're not really willing to give up that big money. So I'm looking at like a 1 year, maybe a $4 or $5 million deal. And I don't think that he wants that. I think he's going to look for $8 to $10 million, and I just cannot see the Raiders giving him that kind of money. So if his demands come down, I can see the Raiders saying, okay, maybe there's something there. Now, the veterans don't report till July 20th to training camp, so there's plenty of time to get something done. He has been here in Las Vegas. He was at the Circa Sports Casino hanging out in the pool with a bunch of Raiders. That was the report from multiple people that worked there. Like, hey, yeah, he's been here hanging out with the Raiders. So, you know, there's something to it. Obviously, there's some flirtation going on. I just don't know how much the Raiders were really, really interested in him.
Right. It'd be an investment at $8 to $10 million. You'd really have to want him and really have to believe that he'd fit in at that money. But, you know, again, if the price comes down, I could see that working and happening. But Q, the fit for him based off of the players on the roster, would it be a good one if the Raiders did end up signing him?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I think, like I mentioned, he's only played in a 3-4 once in his career, but he's still Ndamukong Suh, right? I mean, he's still a really good football player. At the end of the day, you let football players go out there on the field and do what they do. He's only missed 2 games in his career. He had 6 sacks a year ago. So if you can get some interior pressure and then you have a guy like Max Crosby and Chandler Jones screaming in off the edges, you're a pretty good position. So yeah, I think he would be a good fit. I think he would help bolster that defensive line. I think he'd bring that toughness, and also he'd, you know, help those guys in the locker room, you know, just have that veteran presence that's been there, done that. So yeah, I think he would be a good fit. He's talked about wanting to be a Raider in the past, and so I don't know how much that means. You know, I don't know if that means anything, but I definitely think he'd be an upgrade. Again, I just think that it boils down to how much money he wants and how much they're willing to give, and I don't think that they're willing to give a lot.
Yeah, and where do you rank the defensive line need for the Raiders in terms of what they actually need? Is this like a top priority they should bring in somebody, or is it more on the lower end of their
need? No, I think that defensive tackle is definitely an area of concern. I think when it comes to the Raiders, it's offensive line, interior of the defensive line, and then the cornerback situation is also something to kind of be concerned about. But it's definitely up there, you know, because again, they do have Crosby, they do have Jones. That's great. The edge rushers are great, but the interior is a little soft, right? I mean, they have guys. They have a lot of guys, like 7 guys that they went out and signed on a 1-year deal to try to bolster that defensive tackle position. Patrick Graham and company wants guys that are about 300 pounds that can stop the run, you know, guys that can get to the quarterback, as opposed to what they had last year in Gus Bradley, where they were slimmer guys, thinner guys that were just going to shoot the gap and try to get to the quarterback. He wants guys that can stop the run. Well, that's what Sue can do. So there is definitely a concern and a need there at that D tackle position. I just don't know if they're willing to spend the money for him at his age, you know, to bolster it up. They might just say, hey, you know what? We got 7 guys. We went and drafted 2 young dudes. We're going to go ahead and roll with them, as opposed to giving an older guy that kind of money.
And what's your belief level in the group that they have right now? Is it something where you think it is absolutely necessary that they add a veteran, whether it is Sue or somebody else? Or do you think, yeah, they can run with those guys, see what they have, and then go from there?
I think that they should add somebody. You know, I really do. There's a couple different scenarios that could be had. You know, they could maybe make a trade for somebody, a young guy. I've seen a guy like Deron Payne's name floated out there. He could be available from Washington. He's only 25. I would love for them to go and trade for a guy like him, because he's really going to bring a lot of juice to that position, and he's a young dude. So, you know, if the Raiders were to give him some pretty good coin, that wouldn't be a problem, because you feel like, okay, you're investing, like you mentioned, you're investing in the future as well as the present. But, you know, if they're going to go the route of just having, you know, the guys that they have right now, then they probably do need to look outside the organization and say, okay, let's bring in 1 more guy, 2 more guys to compete in camp and see, you know, who's the guys that fit. So, again, like, Sue would be great. He would be fantastic. I just feel like at this age, his asking price is going to be more than the Raiders are willing to pay.
Yeah, and I know investing in that position, I think, would do the Raiders really well. And yeah. I know, Q, when talking about this defense, there is excitement. I mean, the addition of Chandler Jones has been great. Rakiasin also in that trade with Yannick Ngakoue. What's your excitement level for the defense as a whole, assuming they don't add anybody else? I mean, all these pieces coming in, it looks like there's some promise there.
It does. It's so funny, man. I'm excited about the defense, but then at the same time, I feel like, you know, that could be the Achilles heel of the team, right? Because I feel like I look at the other side of the ball, the offensive side, and I think that, man, there's a lot to like about what they've done offensively. Can the defense slow down the Chiefs? Can the defense slow down the Chargers? Can the defense slow down the Broncos? You know, that's going to be the biggest question. They took a step in the right direction last year under Gus Bradley. Their defense has usually been atrocious, but last year it was good. It was good enough to keep them in games and help them win games at the end. So I think that it has to be at least that good. I know that they could do it, but now it's a new scheme, so I want to see how Patrick Graham is going to go ahead and execute it, what his expectations are for the defense. So it's like an excitement level, but it's also a curious-to-see level. You know, I mean, I just kind of want to see how it all looks, and that's why I think that the more competition you bring in, if you bring in a guy like Sue, it just adds to what they have already. And again, I think that they have some quality pieces to really get excited about defensively. I just need to see it all come together now.
Right, and I know if you add a player like Sue, I think it increases the ceiling of that defense by a decent bit. But how much, Q, how much would an addition like a Sue or even another defensive tackle increase the ceiling of this defense for this year?
Well, if you just look at Sue, and I mean, he's averaging about 5 to 6 sacks a season. I mean, I think that's a big bolster right there. I think the Raiders only had, you know, maybe 25, 30 sacks last season. So and really didn't have too much from the interior. So I just think having that ability to get pressure on the interior of the defensive line would be huge. When you look at the quarterbacks that you're facing every week in the division, you got Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and Justin Herbert. I mean, that's murderer's row. So if you can disrupt those guys and make them uncomfortable, you have an opportunity to win games. And again, I think Max Crosby's continuing to get better. That's what's exciting about him. And Chandler Jones is a pro's pro. I mean, 107.5, I think, career sacks. I mean, it doesn't get too much better than that. So he's going to bring what I feel like, you know, at least double-digit sacks. I think Max Crosby will hit double digits. If you can have a guy like Sue or somebody from that interior be kind of nasty and you know, be able to stop the run, but at the same time give that pressure, that's a good thing. So it would be nice. It would be a nice addition to the Raiders defense to have. I just don't know if it's going to be a desire that they have and go out there and spend that money that he's looking for.
Right. Well, the Raiders definitely stacked up this offseason, regardless of if they do end up bringing in Sue or not. And again, my pick, Q, the AFC West is my pick for the best division in football this
year.
Just so much talent added across the board. It'll be a tough one. But again, I do think the Raiders have positioned themselves to be competitive in that division, and I'm excited to see how it all pans out. Q, thanks so much for joining me here.
So there you go. That's my conversation with Kevin Ostreicher, host of Locked On Ravens and Locked On NFL on Mondays, talking all things Ndamukong Suh. So that's going to do it for today's show. Definitely appreciate you as always. Don't forget, I'll have Mick Akers from the Las Vegas Review Journal. He'll be on my radio show at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time talking about the PC he put out with Brianna Erickson talking about how a boys club Raiders culture fueled turnover, lawsuits, and harassment claims. If you're able to tune in, great. If not, I'll bring a few of the sound bites to the show tomorrow. And then we'll have more news and notes of the day. We'll have more calls and texts to get to and plenty of conversation here as well. So definitely appreciate you, Raider Nation. As always, thanks so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find Locked On Raiders podcast free and available on all platforms. Till tomorrow, Raider Nation, appreciate you as always. We'll talk again. Take care of your family, love on your family. Most importantly, as always, just win, baby.